Good day, brothers and sisters, and welcome once again to the CMI School of Christ. And I would like to just say that it is a privilege to be able to share the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ with you. And, before we get into our class, I would just like to ask those two questions that I always ask, and by now you're probably bored out of your mind with these questions, but they're of the utmost importance. This is a progressive class, and I've said that before, and so I never know who is going to be watching this class for the first time or listening to the audio on it or basically anything like that. So I do like to just basically present the class in a nutshell to some degree. The name of the class is The Purpose of the Soul, the Appearing of Christ. And God created the soul for one purpose, the appearing of His Son. We've actually seen this in some previous classes with the testimony of that very thing. In the book of Genesis, how the Lord creates a creation, and in His creation, He has one object in view. He has one goal in creating the natural creation that's found in Genesis. That is the appearing of His Son. And then the very first thing that He wants to do in that creation that we've seen in Genesis is to say, "Let there be light." Very simple. Let there be light. So I'll just ask those two questions. And as I said, if this is the first time you're watching the class or listening to the audio, then it'd be a good idea to go to the first class. Like I said, it is a progressive class, and to kind of catch up to where we are right now. The questions are basically this. I have two questions that are of the utmost importance. The first question is basically, are you born again? And if the answer is, well, I guess, or well, I go to church, or I go to Sunday services, or I read these books, or I go to Sunday school, that's not what I asked. I asked, are you born again? Birth of the Spirit of God, where Christ indwells your soul. And if you're born again, you know it. You know it without a doubt. You know it. You know that it wasn't something that man did. You know that it was something that God Himself did. There's no doubt in your mind about it. Well, so if you're not born again, you must be born again. And here's what it is. Life, Christ, must appear where He was not before. Christ must appear where He was not before. That is the very first appearing of Christ in a soul. Okay? At that point, when one is born again, when one is born from above, Christ indwells the soul. Okay? That is the very first appearing. The very first appearing of the Lord, okay? Now, the next question is for those who are born again, and as I said, if I asked if you are born again, you'll know yes or no if you are or you're not. The second question is this, for those who are born again, are you knowing the life that you have been birthed of? Are you knowing the indwelling Christ? And we've covered this, as I said, in previous classes, but this is just kind of like a summary of the whole entire class in a nutshell. If we do not see, we do not know. As I stated a while ago, the very first thing that the Lord did in the natural creation was to say, "Let there be light." The light of the life must appear. The light, we've also looked at it in 2 Corinthians 4:6, I think. The light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The glory that is present in the soul must be known. There must be a knowledge of that glory. There must be a knowledge of the indwelling Christ. And that, very simply put, is the purpose for the soul, the appearing of Christ. And it's not a one-time thing. This is a continual, ongoing thing. From day to day, today or day by day by day. All I'm saying is appearing by appearing by appearing by appearing. The very walk of faith, walking in the light as He is in the light. So those are the basic two questions that I always like to ask. Now, I was just thinking about the last class that we had, and I may go over just a couple of details from the last class, just because that's really where the Lord's been hammering on my heart for a while. in fact, the last class I did, I didn't have any printout for it at all. It was just what's on my heart. But one thing that I wanted to do that I did not get to do was go over some examples of Moses. And, excuse me, we will hopefully do that, I think, if time permits. We will do that because it's really important. I want to just see Moses as being like a type of Christ and how that all must come under this authority, this government. The past, gosh, I don't know, 3, 4, 5 classes that I've been doing, there's kind of been a shift from where the appearing of the Lord benefits man personally to now the appearing of the Lord benefits the Lord, where he actually begins to govern his land, to govern his kingdom, you know, where there is the government of his kingdom flourishing. Okay, so we may look at that, but back with Elijah in 1 Kings, and the verse that I'd like to look at is mainly 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 21, and I'll just go ahead and read it. And like I said, we went over this passage in the previous class, but I did want to look at some specific things from here. Let's see. Verse 21, and Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him, not a word. Okay, that's 18, verse 21. Before that, we had verse 19. Now, therefore, send, this is Elijah speaking to Ahab, I think, gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel and the prophets of Baal, 450, and the prophets of the groves, 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And then verse 21. Okay. And here's verse 21 again. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. I'm just looking right now at the order of things. There's a divided opinion. There is, if you will, we're actually going to look at it, swaying back and forth. There's not a solidity. There's not a constant. There's not something solid in their hearts, in their view, okay? That was verse 21. Later on, in verse 30 of still 1 Kings chapter 18, it says, and Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. Okay? The situation. Israel is wavering. Israel's all over the place. The altar of the Lord is broken down. Okay, there's no foundation right there in their view, in their midst. There's no foundation, of course, the foundation of the cross, the foundation of Christ and him crucified. Christ is not in view. The cross is not in view. Therefore, there's this wavering. Okay, now, I want us to go, because I've already covered that whole passage from verse 30 to 33 and 36 through 39. We've covered it in the previous class. I want us to look a little bit more in detail to that verse 21. And I'll just go ahead and read it again. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. The people answered him not a word. They could not answer. They did not know. There was no knowledge, there was no knowing established in their hearts, which of course, as I stated, the knowing comes from seeing. Okay? The word halt, and we're just going to look at a couple of words because it really brings to light this passage. The word halt is basically Strong's number 6452. It's a primitive root, to hop. Well, there you go. That is figuratively skip over or spare. By implication, to hesitate, also literally to limp. It translated into the English as halt, become lame, leap, pass over. And I was just thinking about this because I think we looked at it in a previous class. I believe so. If not, then we're going to be looking at it. In the book of Acts, Peter was declaring, he said this, Jesus, whom you have crucified, God hath made both Lord and Christ. Jesus, whom you crucified, God hath made both Lord and Christ. Okay? There was, when the Lord appears, listen, when the Lord appears, when Christ appears, when the Son is revealed, He is revealed as Lord and Christ, the Son, the risen Son, just like King Solomon. I am risen up in my Father's stead to the throne. I am risen up, the whole risen. Okay, the Son, the risen Lord, the risen glorified Christ, risen from among the dead, the firstborn from among the dead, the risen Christ. When He appears, two things happen, and we've also looked at this with Jacob, and when he wrestled with the angel, and the whole little wrestling there, and what's going on, and the conversation back and forth. What's your name? Well, my name's Jacob. Your name's no longer Jacob, or excuse me, that may be previously before in a verse. But anyway, he's wrestling with the angel. He wants to be blessed. Yeah, so he changes his name. And then he says basically this. He called the name of the place Peniel, for I've seen the Lord face to face, and my life is preserved. I'm thinking about that. I hope I get it. I hope I can find that verse real quick. I think it's Genesis... Yeah. Genesis chapter 32, verse 30. Yeah. Oh, I love this. Okay, let me go back to verse 24. And I know we've covered this, but this is kind of pertinent to hear where we're at. Verse 22, and he rose up at night and took his two wives and his two women servants and his 11 sons and passed over the ford Jabbok. And he took them and sent them over the brook and sent over that he had. And Jacob was left alone. And he rose up that night. Okay. And Jacob was left alone. A dealing that happens alone. A dealing that happens a one-on-one appearing of the Lord that affects you like nothing else can. It is not of man, but it is of the Lord, okay? And there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. Until the day dawn. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of his thigh was out of joint, and as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let you go, except you bless me. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. Okay, so there's that. And Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. That little phrase, is preserved, is Strong's number 5337. Snatched away in a good or bad sense. Let me see if I can read them. Part, plucked, rid, strip, taken out. Something happened in this appearing of the Lord unto Jacob. It's the angel of the Lord that wrestled with him. And a lot of commentators you can read will say that it's a Epiphania, I think, an appearing of Christ Himself in the Old Testament. Well, His life is preserved. Two things happen. that which he thought was his life was taken out of the picture. That which is his life, the Lord, Christ himself, remains. The very exact same thing that happens with Paul. I am crucified with Christ. A judgment. Something happened. Okay? Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I the life of the vessel, but Christ liveth in me. Something taken out, something plucked out, one remains. All because of the cross. All right, back to that term in 1 Kings 18:21, where he says, halt, how long shall you halt? Also literally to limp. I just wrote a comment here, right here. That is figuratively skip over, where it says that is figuratively skip over the cross. Bypass the cross. How can they bypass the cross? Only in the understanding. That's the only way we can bypass the cross. That is the only way that it won't have an effect in us. The verse that I'm thinking of is when one died, Paul said this, therefore we thus judge that when one died, if one died for all were made to be dead. A judgment came at the cross. Did it happen? Yes, it happened. Yes. For that is real, that is reality, to take effect in our own hearts, we must face the judgment of it. We must face the truth. We must see him who remains. We must see him who has taken one out and one who remains. My life is preserved. Christ, who is my life, is preserved. So that word says that is figuratively skip over or spare. I just kind of saw it that way. With that same definition, by implication, to hesitate, also literally to limp. Not, and here's my comment that I was going to say, not knowing the Lord is to be lame in one's walk. Not knowing the Lord, and I say it specifically that way, the Lord, because that was his question. How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. He's just, make up your mind, you know, one or the other, okay? Not knowing the Lord is to be lame in one's walk, is to bring about a lameness. I've got Isaiah 35 that I wanted to read, and it's not a long passage at all. In fact, the whole chapter isn't long. I was kind of surprised. But it speaks of that very thing. The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it, the excellency of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. There's the predecessor. They shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. Now, verse 3. That was verse 2. Now verse 3. Strengthen ye the weak hands, and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Verse 5. Then the eyes of the blind shall be open. Look at the progression of the words. The eyes of the blind shall be opened. The ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. The lame shall leap. The lame man shall leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing for in the wilderness shall water break out, and streams in the desert. And it goes on, all these things out of verse 2. I love this. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it, the excellency of Carmel and Sharon. The actual passage that we're looking at right now is Mount Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. Now all these things are happening. One of them, which says right here, the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame leap as a hart. There's some other verses too in the New Testament. And it's actually where the same Jesus is quoting this actual passage. And I'll just read one of them. This is Luke chapter 7, verse 19. And this is where they're asking, the disciples of John are asking Jesus some questions about what John had told them, right? And the disciples of John, verse 18, I'll start with 18. And the disciples of John showed him of all these things. And John, calling unto him two of his disciples, sent them to Jesus, saying, Art thou that should come, or look we for another? When the men were come unto him, they said, John the Baptist hath sent a son to thee, saying, Art thou he that should come, or look we for another? And in that same hour he cured many of their infirmities and plagues, and of evil spirits, and unto many blind he gave sight. Then Jesus answering saith unto them, Go your way, and tell John what things ye have seen and heard, how that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor, and to the poor the gospel is preached. Literally to limp. Not knowing the Lord is basically to be lame in one's walk. Okay, so to pass over and to limp. Give me that passage, verse right there. The other verse, which basically opinions, it just means division in the mind, a divided mind, divided opinion, division in the mind, one or the other. And then, where it's, if you halt between two opinions, if the Lord be God, the Lord is the self-existent or eternal Jehovah, the Lord, the existing one. If the one who has always existed, if he is God, serve him. If he is God, the word God here is Elohim in Strong's number 430. It's basically of the supreme God, judge, mighty, ruler, judges, divine ones, the true God, God, ruler. It's all there. Ruler, judges, divine ones, the true God, the supreme God. And then with Baal, it basically means Lord. Another Lord in view. There is the true God. There is the Lord, the Supreme, the Eternal One, who is the Lord. But here there is another Lord in view. Okay? Supreme male divinity of the Phoenicians and Canaanites. A master, a husband, an owner, a captain, a chiefman. Great husband, lordman, master, person. Owner, husband, lord, owner, husband, ruler, lords, to marry, have dominion over, be husbandman, marry, possess, to marry, be lord, husband over, to rule over, to be married. I said this in a previous class. We will be governed either by light or by darkness. It's one or the other. When our hearts are turned to the Lord, we are governed by light, and we see the Lord. When our hearts are turned to the Lord, the veil is removed, we see the Lord. We are governed by light at that moment. Okay? The moment our hearts are turned from the Lord unto whatever it is, we are the Lord. We carry the crown. We make the decisions. We make the governing comes from the natural mind. We become lords unto ourselves. No longer the Lord who is truly Lord, but there is the swaying, the division back and forth, the divided mind. I could, here's the last word that I wanted to look at. It's to follow him, follow after, from hereafter, pursuing, seeing, walking, to walk, bear, pursue, cause to run, walk, walking, live, manner of life. The whole situation right there in that passage with Elijah and Mount Carmel, the hearts are divided between going back and forth. Okay? The Lord, at that point, turns the heart back unto him again. And it is the Lord. And they see, at that point, they see, it even says it further down in the passage, when the people saw, then the understanding. The Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. There's no more question. I see the Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the existing one. He is the supreme Lord. He is the ruler, the judge. Okay? Back with Moses, as I said, I wanted to look at Moses kind of like as a type of Christ. And these are just a couple of verses that I was looking at with Moses. This is Exodus 3:12, and he said, "Certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God upon this mountain. Certainly I will be with thee," is the Lord speaking to Moses, "and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God upon this mountain." One of the things that the Lord told Moses to tell Pharaoh, he said, "Tell Pharaoh, Israel is my son, even my firstborn. Let my son go, that he may serve me." Okay? That he may serve me. And then we find it again, "You shall serve God upon this mountain." I don't have my diagram here. I did have it in a different class. "You shall serve God upon this mountain." And we did cover this in the previous class. From here, there is the serving of the Lord. From here, from when you have brought them out, where if it says, "The Lord, I brought you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself." From here, there's the serving of the Lord. From here, from this mountain. Okay. Exodus 14:31. "And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses." Exodus 19:9. "And the Lord said unto Moses, Lo, I come unto thee in a thick cloud, and the people may hear when I speak with thee and believe thee forever." Deuteronomy 34. "And there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face." And all these verses are just declaring basically Moses like a type, being a testimony of Christ. I want us to look at this passage, actually. This is Exodus 4. And I know I'm going a little backwards here in my verses. And yeah, Exodus chapter 4. Let me go back a little further. Exodus chapter 3. Actually, let me go back a little further. Exodus chapter 2. There's a little progression here. Three things going on. Here's Moses. He's in Egypt. He knows he's a Hebrew. It says when he came of age, he went out into his brethren, saw two of them struggling, fighting together. He sees an Egyptian smiting one of his brethren. Okay, here comes Moses to intervene. He kills the Egyptian, hides him in the sand. And this is kind of what's in Moses' heart to some degree. He wants to, "Hey, that's not right. Let me do it this way. Let me, you know, let's take care of the situation here." Okay? That was Moses out of Moses' own strength. That was Moses out of Moses' own judgment. Moses' own government. Okay? Like a judge, Okay, let's do it this way. You pronounce a sentence. This is what's going to happen here, and this is what's going to happen here based on what you see. You make a judgment. Okay, like in an example with a judge, you know, the cases, the parties come up, and the judge says, okay, I've heard this, I've seen this, I've gathered the information, and I'll make a judgment on it. Now, this is the steps we're going to take from this point. Okay? He was making a judgment on his own. He was judging. He was governing from his own point of view. At that point, he flees. He runs away because Pharaoh finds out. Because later on, then he sees two of his brethren, you know, striving amongst themselves. And now Moses comes in and tries to make things aright. Tries to settle the matter. Tries to change the situation, if you will. And so one of the guys says, well, who made you a judge over us, a prince and a judge over us? Who made you the governor? Who made you the governing figure here between this dispute? Okay. And then he goes on to say, will you kill me or kill us like you did the Egyptian? At that point, you know, he flees because apparently it's punishable upon death to kill an Egyptian. All right. So there's Moses. There's a picture of Moses. At that point, he's not a testimony of Christ. Okay, that was his purpose, to be a testimony of Christ. At that point, he's not a testimony of Christ. Trying to do it his way. The Lord has a purpose for him. He's kind of not really following to the T that purpose. He's really not in that purpose. Okay, next thing, chapter 3. Moses keeps the flock of Jethro, his father, the priest of Midian. He's away from the situation now, okay? Totally, you know, away from the situation. 40 years in the situation, 40 years away from the situation. All right? 40 years away from the situation. Verse 2, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. Okay? Here's Moses, just like the situation with the prophets of Baal and Israel in the time of the kings with Elijah. Hey, who's Lord? Who's Lord? Who is Lord? Is the Lord Jehovah Lord? Or is Baal Lord? Your own mind, your own reasoning, you yourself being the Lord. Is your heart turned to the Lord? Therefore you have no crown, but He in truth, in your heart now, governing as Lord, He has the crown? Or is your heart turned from the Lord, and therefore you're wavering, because now you wear the crown? Okay? The Lord appeared to him. All this goes on. Now, the Lord appears to him. The Lord appears to Moses. Okay? The Lord appears. Moses' response, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. I will now turn aside. It's just beautiful. I will now turn aside and see this great sight. Now, he's walking in purpose. How did he come back into purpose? From Moses, why I say that is Moses wanted to do things his way. Moses was purposed to be a testimony of Christ. He had to be as an exact testimony as possible because he was testifying of the Father, Son. He is testifying of Christ. Okay, he stepped out of purpose to try to by doing things his way, handling the situation, handling the matter in his own understanding. His own governing thought. Yes, him making the judgment. This is how I will handle this. I will kill this Egyptian and I will solve the problem. Everything will be fine now. I will take matters into my own hand and I will fix it all and everyone will be happy. And then he goes to apply the same, it's not the same, the same judgment because it's coming out of the same mind, the same reasoning unto his two brethren who are now, you know, striving amongst each other. Why do you strike your brethren? You know, who made you a judge and ruler over us? That's what he's doing. But he's doing it with his own mind. Okay? He's like, forget this. This is no fun at all. I'm like a wanted man. They're wanting to kill me now. I'm out of here. He leaves. 40 years of none of that. The Lord appears. changes everything. The Lord appears, brought back into purpose. Moses, brought back into purpose. The Lord appears. Okay? The Lord appears. All Israel, at the point of Solomon, the great king, serving purpose, walking in purpose. You know, the Lord is appearing with the sacrifices and the offerings, filling the temple with His glory. And then you can see the kingdom degrade from their apex. And now, here we are in 1 Kings, what was it, chapter 18 or something. Now, chapter 18. Back and forth. Who's the Lord? I don't know. I guess I'm the Lord. Serving Baal. Another Lord, another government, another kingdom, another king, another ruling, another judgment, another judge. What does the Lord do even in that situation? He turns their hearts back unto Him again. He brings them back unto purpose. That's what He did. Elijah's prayer. We read it last class. That this people may know, hear me, Lord, that this people may know that I do things according to Thy word. It's not my word going on here. I'm not doing this because I think this is what needs to be done, but according to Thy word, that this people may know that Thou art the Lord God and that Thou hast turned their hearts back again. The Lord shows His pleasure in that. He shows, it's beautiful. We know Elijah brought the altar. He repaired the altar. He brought the sacrifice. He prepared the sacrifice. It's Christ crucified. It was out of view. Therefore, they wavered. Now He brings that which satisfies His heart back into view. That which satisfies the heart of Jehovah back into view. When the Lord sees His good pleasure, He responds. The offering, the sacrifice, everything licked up. The Lord appeared. Boom. In acceptance of what Elijah had done. Now it says, and when all Israel saw, then the declaration, the Lord, He is God. At that point, when all Israel saw, their hearts were turned back unto Him again. Okay, here we go back with Moses. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. And he said, draw nigh hither. And then it goes on. I'm the God of thy father, Abraham, God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Okay. To look upon the Lord. The very exact same thing that happened with Jacob. I already forgot how it read. Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. Snatched out, taken away. It's kind of like a woe is me. I've seen the Lord face to face. Moses saw the Lord and he hid his own face. All right, we can look at it two different ways. All right, he saw the Lord, then he hid his own face or something. Or in his understanding, he saw the Lord and his face was hid from him. At that point, he no longer had his face in view. He had the Lord in view. He hid his own face. His face was no longer that which was in view. His own face, his own government, his own everything in his own face. No, now it's in the face of the Lord. And then it goes on. I know there's a verse I'm looking for. Yeah, Moses said unto God. They asked him, what is his name? He asked to declare the name of the Lord to him. Ah. verse, where is it? There it is. Verse 16 from Exodus chapter 3. It's going on. Go and gather the elders of Israel together and say unto them, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob appeared unto me, saying, I have surely visited you and seen that which is done to you in Egypt. That's what he said. This is what the Lord is speaking to Moses to tell Israel. Go and gather the elders of Israel together and say unto them, the Lord God of thy fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob appeared unto me, saying, I have surely visited you. The Lord appeared unto me. I love it. Appeared unto me. The Lord God appeared unto me. Now, chapter 4. Now Moses answered and said, this is skipping a whole big chunk of chapter 4. And Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. Okay? The whole situation is dealing with the appearing of the Lord, with Moses going on right here, with the appearing of the Lord. The Lord hath not appeared unto thee. But the Lord says, go tell the elders, the Lord hath appeared unto me. Okay? So that is, to some degree, the story of Moses with the Lord. Let me see if... Yeah. And that's the verse. Here's some other verses. This is Psalm 90, verse 1. A prayer of Moses, the man of God. Okay? Psalm 90, verse 1, a prayer of Moses, the man of God. Numbers 12, 7, my servant Moses. Deuteronomy 34, 5, so Moses, the servant of the Lord. Okay. Joshua 1, 2, Moses, my servant, is dead, but it's Moses, my servant. Psalm 105, 26, he sent Moses, his servant. Hebrews 3, 5, and Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of that which should be spoken hereafter. Psalm 106, 23, therefore he said that he would destroy them had not Moses his chosen. And then 1 Chronicles 23, 14. Now concerning Moses, the man of God, all these are declaring really, they're declaring Christ. Moses is a type of Christ. Moses, after seeing the Lord, is now walking in purpose. Moses, the Lord appears to Moses. Now he's brought into purpose. Now things can continue. Now the testimony can continue. Okay? During the time of the Scriptures, that was the purpose, to testify of Christ. That was the purpose. These will testify of my beloved Son. That's what Jesus said. They are they that testify of me. All right? Brings all back into purpose. All back into purpose. To be a testimony of Christ. Right? Now, unto us who are born again. The all prevailing purpose for the soul, the appearing of Christ. Time and time again, when our hearts turn from the Lord, okay, and now we are found as Israel, serving the Baals, our own government, our own mind, governing, doing things our own way. The Lord, what does He do? Recovers our hearts unto purpose, back unto purpose, the appearing of the Lord. Just as He did with Moses, the Lord appeared. And now, they are walking in purpose. The Lord appeared. Just as He did with Israel and the time of Mount Carmel, regathers them, gathers their hearts. The Lord hath turned our hearts, that this people may know that Thou hast turned their hearts back again. Turned back unto purpose, walking in light. The same with us. Time and time again, He will do this. Because unlike the Old Testament, unlike the scriptures of the Old Testament, which was basically an old covenant from without, from afar, a glory that was fading. Gideon speaks of the glory that Moses had on his face. It was fading. He put a veil over his face when he spoke to the children of Israel that they could not see the end of that glory, the glory that was fading, the glory that was here today, gone tomorrow, you could say, the glory that was fading. Unlike that glory, the glory that dwells within us in our soul is not fading. It is a glory that abideth. No longer a God from without, from afar, Old Testament, Old Covenant, but New Covenant. I will be in them. I will be their God. They shall be my people. In them, in the heart. I will write my law upon the tablets of their heart. No longer stone hard. No. Now it is from within. Okay? Unlike the glory that was fading of the Old Covenant from afar, okay, from without, from the outside that was fading, the glory from within fadeth not. The glory of Christ fadeth not. Fadeth not. It's not an experience like as they had in the Old Testament. It's not an experience that is on the outside, that is from afar, from without. No. This happens on the inside. It affects everything on the inside. Only God can touch the inside. Man touches the outside. God touches the inside. Man transforms the inside. Okay? let's see where we're at. So, and the previous question was, Moses was trying to do it his way. Who made thee a prince, a judge over us, a captain? All those passages, prince, judge, I looked at those verses. Here's another passage. This is Isaiah 33, chapter 33, verse 20 through 22. Look upon Zion, the city of our solemnities. Thine eyes shall see Jerusalem, a quiet habitation, a tabernacle. Usually it works when you turn it off. a tabernacle that shall not be taken down. Not one of the stones thereof shall ever be removed, neither shall any of the cords thereof be broken. But there the glorious Lord will be unto us a place of broad rivers. I love that. Verse 21. But there the glorious Lord will be unto us a place of broad rivers and streams, wherein shall go no valley with oars, neither shall gallant ship pass thereby. Verse 22. For the Lord is our judge. The Lord is our lawgiver. The Lord is our king. He will save us. The Lord is our judge. The Lord is our lawgiver. The Lord is our king. From this understanding, He will save us. Save us from what? You can look at it this way. From ourselves. From us being the judge. From us being the king. From us being the governing government. From us being the ruling head. From our own selves is what it is. Let's see. Yeah, and the other verses that I had with Moses. This is like Exodus 4, verse 10 through 17. I'll just read verse 13. And he said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. And this is when the Lord was saying to Moses, okay, you've seen me, now I'm going to send you to Pharaoh, to Israel, to bring Israel out of Egypt. You've seen me, now I'm going to send you. Okay, now here's Moses. After having seen the Lord. Listen to this. This is Moses. After having... I think of this song. It's terrible to me. I did it my way. After Moses having attempted to walk in purpose. After Moses having attempted to be in purpose. Okay? After Moses having attempted to take things into his own hand. Okay? This is that same Moses. I've already tried that. I've already, by my understanding, by my own government, by my own ruling and reigning, and making judgments. I've tried things. I've tried to help the people of God. No, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. I won't go. And he said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. 40 years in Egypt. Tries to serve the people of God. Zero. Gets nowhere. Verse 14. Basically, in verse 13, Moses is refusing purpose. He's refusing the purpose for his existing, to be a testimony of Christ. Okay? So verse 14, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. Because at that point, it's no longer an issue of, I think, or no, I don't want to. It is an issue. This is the Lord's issue. It's his purpose. He's like, no, this, you must be in purpose. You must, at this, for Moses, you must be a testimony of Christ. You must be a testimony. But I don't want to be a testimony. The anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. You will be a testimony. You will serve purpose. I have appeared unto thee. That's verse, chapter 4, chapter 3. The Lord appeared to Moses. I have appeared unto thee. Now you will serve purpose. Serve. The Lord appears, now you serve purpose. We can walk in purpose. The Lord appears, continuing in the appearing of the Lord, the appearing of the Lord, now you will serve the purpose. Okay, verse 16. And he shall be thy spokesman, he's speaking about Aaron, unto the people, and he shall be to thee instead of a mouth, and thou shalt be to him instead of God. Exodus 4:16 in the American Standard Version is, and thou shalt be to him as God. All right. Let's see. Exodus 7:1-2. And the Lord said unto Moses, see, I have made thee a God to Pharaoh. So it's basically just showing Moses as a type of Christ. And how Moses has to submit to even to that purpose at that point, to be a testimony of Christ. And I know I'm kind of actually, what I'm doing is I'm overlapping a couple classes here because I've already begun a different class in a different spot. But Moses is serving purpose by the Lord appearing. Moses walks in purpose as the Lord appears. He serves purpose as the Lord appears. As the Lord appears, the Lord is the one who is ruling and reigning. When our hearts turn, I love it the way Paul said it in Corinthians. And I know we've read this verse time and time again. It's 2 Corinthians 3, speaking of the heart and the veil. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord. Nevertheless, there remains a veil over the heart. Nevertheless, when the heart shall turn to the Lord. There is a governing factor here. There's a ruling factor here. When the heart turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Who is Lord? Not I, but Christ. It's a judgment. It's an understanding. I'm no longer governing by the natural mind, but Christ. It is only as our hearts are turned to the Lord, viewing Him face to face, that, I'll put it this way, that we are operating by the mind of Christ. Nothing less than light. The mind of Christ is known to be present, and in the mind of Christ, we are operating by that mind. If you're born again, you have the mind of Christ. But until your heart, I love this, turns to the Lord, that mind is not working in you. It's not. It's night and day. One or the other. You know, there's no swaying. It's one or the other. Yes, I'll tell you this. With Elijah in Mount Carmel, the only time there's a swaying is when the Lord is not in view. When the cross is not central. That's the only time there's a swaying. That's the only time when we serve a Lord ourselves and we try to serve the Lord, Jehovah. That's the only time when our hearts are truly not turned to the Lord. Because it even says it in the passage, the Lord turned their hearts back unto him again. And then there was no swaying. Then there was no going back and forth. Then there was no doubt as to who was Lord. There was no halting. There was no lameness in this understanding. There was no swaying back and forth. Yeah, there was no I love that, the way they translate that. There was no hesitation in the definition. There was no hesitation when the Lord is in view. There's no hesitation. This is the mind of Christ. This is being governed and ruled by the mind of Christ. Light being governed and ruled by light. Governed by light versus governed by darkness. Our own natural eyes, our own natural ears, and processing with our own wee little natural brain. Okay? So, there's Moses, who is a testimony of Christ. He continues in purpose as the Lord appears. He begins in purpose when the Lord appears. He continues in purpose as he continues in the opinion of the Lord. As we read in one of the verses, there was none like Moses whom the Lord spoke to face to face. Face to face. That's we will see it in another class, and please forgive me, I am overlapping two classes here. But that's it. I know I shared it in the last verse. That is exactly how he endured, as seeing him who is invisible. How could he stay in purpose? How could he walk in purpose? How could he do all these things? How could he serve the purpose of the Lord? It's the appearing of the Lord, by seeing him who is invisible. That's how. He remained, he continued as seeing, not having seen, but seeing. And I love it. All the uprisings here and there, you know, poor Moses. You know, he's just like, I'm just seeing the Lord. I'm just serving the Lord. I'm seeing the Lord. I'm serving purpose. That's it. That's what I'm doing. This one directs. This one guides. This one judges. This one governs here. Not I, but Christ. The government of the head. Not I, but Christ. Okay. So, I think I'll probably just end this class with that, because we'll actually look at some of those uprisings in the next couple of classes, but I did want to just establish Moses being a testimony of Christ, and even from when he wasn't really walking in that purpose, where he's fleeing from Pharaoh and all these things going on, and to where the Lord appears, and now he's walking in purpose. Now he is serving purpose, and now the Lord can do what he wants to do. Bring in a greater testimony of Christ. Okay? Now, for us, it's no longer bringing in a greater testimony. No, it's seeing a greater appearing of the Lord. But it begins when our hearts are turned. So, with that, I'll end for this class. And the Lord bless you. The Lord keep our hearts turned unto him. May we submit our hearts unto the Lord, that we would yield, that our hearts would turn unto him, that we would walk in understanding, that we would walk in wisdom and understanding, that we would walk in the light of the knowledge of the glory of the Lord in the face of Jesus Christ. Walking, having the understanding of the mind of Christ, to no longer our own little mind, our own little government. Amen? Amen. We'll see you in our next class.